second what Jeremy just said. There's nothing that thrills my heart more than to see the young man taking a stand and getting up and opening up the services and serving the Lord in this capacity. In fact, that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight. Primarily talking not to the unsaved tonight. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, well, I'll tell you, you need him more than you did yesterday. And I pray that you'll accept him before this night comes to a close, or even before this service comes to a close. But primarily tonight, I'm going to just talk to the young believers. And I trust that the few remarks that we make will be a blessing to each one. But as we've already said, it's always wonderful to see the young people, I don't care how old they are, have that desire to serve the Lord, because if it starts at an early age, they get more used to getting up here and expressing themselves. And I think that's one of the wonderful things that the Bible studies that we've been having over the past few years with various brethren up at the Eleuthera has done. It has encouraged some of these young men to come forth and, I guess, and to express themselves in the way that they're doing it right now. And, you know, if you see a church that's got young people and they're active, then you know that church is alive. That's one sign of life, and it's wonderful. I love to see it. Nothing blesses me more than seeing young people serving the Lord. That's been my life's, I guess, goal over the years and working here in this assembly, is to see the young people accept the Lord Jesus Christ and continue on for him. So that really thrills my heart. Tonight I just want us to look at a few familiar passages in Scripture, some that you've probably been read ever since you was little boys and girls, maybe on your mother's knee as you read your Bible stories. That's one of the things that I enjoyed with my mother, I could tell you that. As a young boy, she would take me in her lap, and sitting in the old layoff chair in the front room, she would read to me from the Word of God and read to me many Bible stories that linger in my mind, and some of the things that she had said to me still to this very day. So getting to know these stories, I think, is very good, especially at an early age, as we've said, because things that we learn when we're young, sometimes they tend to stick with us a little bit longer. You see, when you get old, you start forgetting, like me right now. I forget what I've done today, but things that I did probably 30 years ago, I can still remember. I got a bad short-term memory. Lolly's laughing at that, but it's true. All right, having said that, I want us to look at the first story tonight. And what I want to talk about a little bit is the heading that I've got here is Knowing and Following God in Difficult Times. And every single one of us, young or old, sometimes go through some difficult and trying times in our lives. And we can know God and know his will. So I'd like for us to, if you've got your Bibles, and I'm reading from King James, the New King James, so it's maybe a few little words different, not much. And it's 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. A very familiar story. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria. I started reading and people still looking. I'm sorry. I'll wait a minute. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Okay. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back a captive young girl or maiden from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who was from the land of Israel." Now, we'll stop reading there for the time being and see if we could glean a few thoughts from that. I'm talking to the young ladies first tonight, and I see we got a few in there. This young girl, she probably was in her teens. I'm not too sure of that, but I think that they're saying a young maiden or a young girl, probably because she was serving Naaman's wife. She was probably in her early teens, or maybe in her late teens. I don't know. But anyway, she had been taken from her family or from her homeland. Naaman, in fact, probably had been the one that had gone out and made the raids on Israel from Syria. And he could have very well been the man or his group that had brought this girl from her family, from the land of Israel, down into the land of Syria. Taken from her family, or perhaps mother, father, brothers, sisters, everybody that she had grew up with and been acquainted with, and now she's put in a place where she's a stranger, and she knows perhaps, or probably, nobody, only the people that she was in contact with, this lady. And what amazes me is this, you know, this young girl, although she had been placed in a very difficult situation, she was still willing to tell somebody, perhaps the very man that had taken her away from home, about somebody that could help him. Somebody who she believed, if he went and visited this man, that the man of God would be able to heal him through God, the one that she believed and trusted in. So in a time of probably the most difficult time in her life, even though it was very probably difficult for her to do it, she was willing to witness, and to witness to a man that had probably done her wrong. Now, you stop and think about that for a minute and put yourself in her situation. I know many young girls today are faced probably with maybe greater temptations than what she was faced with. Young girls today, they have to deal with young boys, especially, that is trying to woo their attention and get them to probably listen to the things that they've got to say. And I'll guarantee sometimes they may not be too sporty. Things that they want them to do that they know within their self that they shouldn't do. And they find themselves in very difficult situations. Girls will be teased. And I know, because I hear it all through our streets. In fact, somebody was mentioning to me just a few weeks ago how certain people, perhaps right here in this island, because they want to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and they want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, oftentimes they be slandered. And sometimes they're talked about by even, like we say, so-called other Christian young boys and young girls, because they're trying to get them to do things that they know within their self that they shouldn't do. So it'll cost you sometimes, let me tell you, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, young girls, young ladies, to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes will cost you perhaps some of the best friends you have or that you think you have in the world, because they will turn their backs upon you, and many times you call names that you don't like, and so you oftentimes, young people, boys and girls alike, will give in to them. And so it's going to cost you something. And I'll tell you what, it'll cost you something, too, if you don't take a stand for the Lord. Not taking a stand for the Lord will cost you even more than if you just go along with everything. I guarantee you, it'll cost you more. You will lose your friends, maybe, if you don't do what they tell you to do. But to do what they tell you to do will cost you to lose your testimony and also the respect of other people, because you're going to lower your standards down to their level, and then people think no different of you than they do anybody else or any of the unsaved young men and women of the Highland. And it really costs you something. But listen, if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, guaranteed that God is going to reward you for it. In verse 15 of this same chapter, after Naaman, you know the story well, Naaman goes down, he listens to what the young maiden has to say, and he decides he's going to go down to Samaria, and he visits the man of God, and eventually, first he resisted for a while, but eventually he did what the man told him to do. Go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and you're going to come up clean. So he did that. And when he came up clean, he was amazed. So now, here in this verse, I would just want to read it to you, what the words say there. It says that he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." What a great testimony. Because this young girl was willing to tell, not ashamed, to tell her master about God. Now this man makes probably one of the greatest statements that can ever be made about God, because he witnessed for himself and he came to acknowledge himself of how great and mighty God really was. And we could do the same thing. Young girls, you can have that same kind of testimony. Don't worry about what people say, because I'm going to tell you, they're going to do it. That's Satan's job. Satan's job is to discourage you and get you to think, well, it's not worth it. It's not worth me having to listen at all of the things that they're saying to me. I'll just go ahead and do what they're doing. Listen, nobody stands for God and honors him that he doesn't do the same for them. God will honor you, and you'll get the respect of not only your so-called friends, but you'll have the respect and the admonition of God himself. Okay. Now we're going to look at another famous passage of scripture, and we're going over to Daniel. And I know you've heard this story since you were little kids too, because I was read all of these stories, like I said, myself, and always enjoyed to hear them being talked about. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading from verse 8. But here again, young men, these young men, it finds themselves in perhaps the same situation that the young girl did in Syria. They had been taken from their homeland, taken captive, taken away from their families, carried to a place where they were strangers. And they were asked to do things that they knew was contrary to what God wanted them to do. So we're going to begin reading at verse 8. Okay? Begin reading at verse 8. And it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had sat over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you will see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So now you got, as I said in the beginning, young men that has been done the same thing, taken out from their families, out from the customs that they'd been used to practicing. I believe these men were taught the Word of God at a very early age. They knew what was right and what was wrong. They knew all the ways of the Hebrew children, and they knew to eat what the king had set before them was going to be dishonoring to God. It was something that they'd been told that they shouldn't do. So they decide, and they tell the head man there, you test us out. Be prepared to just eat the vegetables and drink the water, and you keep all of the king's delicacies and see how we fare out. Now, I wonder how many of us, young people, would be willing to take that stand. Now, you got to remember, they decided instead of having all of the good red meat and probably the pork and all of the other stuff that the king had, that they'd eat Brussels sprouts probably and string beans and all of the vegetables that was there, which most young people don't like, and perhaps they didn't like them either, but they were willing to eat that kind of food because they knew that the end result of that would be that God would honor them and bless them for it. So they decided that they weren't going to eat. How many of us young men are willing to take a stand like that for the Lord Jesus Christ? How many times have we ever been asked by our friends to do something that we knew was not right to do, being called children of God? I don't know if I've ever told you this. I'll use this as an example of my own life. I remember when I was a young boy, probably in my teens, even after I had professed the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I knew what was right and I knew what was wrong, but I went around with other young men, and some of them were professing believers as well, and some weren't. But anyway, just to be accepted by everybody, because the in thing then was to leave school afternoons after you got your homework done, you left home and you met up with the rest of the boys or whatever, and you would go and do your own thing. Well, many times, most of the boys that I hung around with, they liked to smoke. And believe you me, I did it. From a child, I've smoked everything, picking up butts off the street, and even smoked brolly wood. I don't even know if some of you know what that is, but that's what we did as young boys. Whatever we could smoke, we smoked. And then we'd smoke cigarettes as well. But I tell you what, I never did like it. I never liked to smoke. And I really couldn't smoke because I could never inhale. And some of you know what I'm talking about. I couldn't inhale that cigarette because every single time that I tried it, I did like the commercial in the TV used to say when I was a little boy, I coughed my head off. I would choke almost to death. It nearly killed me. I just could never inhale cigarettes and blow it out of my nose. I would choke nearly to death. But I did it because I wanted to be accepted by everybody else. And I just didn't want to be that oddball that wasn't going to do what everybody else was doing. And I remember one day sitting to the dinner table. My brother had made mention that he had heard I was smoking, and I denied it. And mommy would say, you know, I smell smoke on you. I say, that's because I'm with all of the boys that smoking. And I always tried to deny it. Until one day, Brother Tom Roberts was sitting. In fact, he was the man that had pointed me to the Lord during the 67 crusade when after Brother Head was finished preaching. And she said, well, I told you that my mother had smelt it on me. And then one day, Brother Tom was sitting to the table, and I knew I hadn't been living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had not been the kind of person that I should have been. I'd been doing many things that was not right, especially naming the name of God. And let me tell you, young people, Satan will take you down the path that you really don't want to go if you allow him to do it. And he will get you into trouble in doing things that you really don't want to do, but you end up doing it just because you don't want to be the hard ball. It takes courage to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it takes courage. But God will give you that courage if you will rely upon him. And we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Anyway, Brother Tom said, you know, I realize, this was sitting to the dinner table one day, I realize that many times when young people like Grayling, and he even called my name, and I don't know whether God had given him a special message that day for me or what, but it seemed like he did. He says, young men like Grayling, when they make professions at an early age, they tend to drift away. But later on, when they realize what they've done, they will come back to the Lord. And I felt like I was about that eye. In fact, if I could have gotten under the table and away from where he was at that present moment, I would have done it, because I was embarrassed to death. I knew that I had been doing what God didn't want me to do. And it was at that point in time in my life that I made a decision that I would stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the very week later, I went to some of the brethren here. I think it was Brother Donald, if my memory serves me right. And I said to Brother Donald, I would like to be baptized. I was at 15, almost 16. And I was baptized, and just a few weeks later, at the age of 16, I came into the Assembly Fellowship. And at that time, I tell you what, I was one of the youngest people that was here. There was not too many other young people in the Assembly at that time. It was very difficult. And there's been many times that I've failed the Lord since then. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm a perfect person, and because God knows that I'm not. And I'm not going to try to make that out, try to make myself out to be that to you tonight. Some of you know that I'm not. But listen, God will give you the strength, young boys. If you want to make a stand for him, and you desire in your heart to make a stand, he will give you the strength to overcome all of the teasing that you're going to get. And he'll help you to take that stand. 2 weeks ago, I took the Sunday school class, and I'm going to try to wrap this up. I took the Sunday school class for Cacharo, and we were on the subject, some of you that were there will remember, that I spoke to you a little bit about prayer. And one of the strongest ways that a young, especially a young person, can withstand the wiles of the devil is if he's in contact with God. If he's talking to God, and if he's praying to God on a continual basis. I said to them, you know, because, you know, young people particularly find it difficult to attend prayer meeting. I know that. I've heard them say it, and I said it too as a young boy. I dreaded the Tuesday night, or back then it was the Thursday night meeting, because we tend to count it the boring service. There's nothing happens there, and so that's why a lot of people don't go. But to take away the prayer meeting from any church, you would take away its church, the church life, because it's the time when we can commune with God our Father. Now listen, young people, if you want strength, there's nothing greater that you can do than to commune with God our Father, or your Father, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In fact, Daniel, and I don't have the time to go into it, but you remember with Daniel, when they tried to get to trip him up with something in his life, they wanted to find some fault with him so that the king would demote him or not have him up as high as what he was. And they tried to find something that he was doing wrong, some bad thing. And they couldn't find anything that he was doing wrong. And so they took notice that every single day this guy went and he would open his windows and he would turn towards Israel and he would pray to God 3 times a day on a regular basis. Now, I guarantee you that he didn't start doing that just when he got in Israel, in Babylon, talking to God. That had been his practice back at home. And so for 3 times a day, he still got before God, even though, in fact, the Bible says, let me read you that one verse. It says in Daniel 6 and verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as was his custom since his early days. Even though he knew that it was going to cost him probably his life, that they were going to, the decree was signed, if you prayed to anybody besides the king, you were going to be thrown into the lion's den. And so he knew that. But he was still willing to make that sacrifice because he wanted to communicate with God. That had been his practice. And God rewarded him for that as well. You remember, the story tells you that the lion's mouth was shut. And Daniel, the next morning, when Darius came down there, he found him alive and kicking. And there is a verse, a decree that he made, Darius made, because of Daniel's faithfulness that I want to share with you tonight. And God will do the same thing in your life as well, if you are willing to make that commitment to him and to stand up for him. But you do that, you, like I was saying, we only can do that if we are talking to God and we have a relationship with him and we read his word. That's how he talks back to us too, you know, through the reading of his word. This is where we find all of the answers. They're right here in this book. And it'll help us how to live and how to grow day by day. I said to the young people, I said, just imagine. We're talking about God wanting to hear us talk to him. Just imagine that you were in a home. This is what I said to him. In your home, and every single day, your mom and dad's there and you're there. But every single day, your parents get up in the morning and they go about their business. They look you in the face. They pass you by several times. And you may even sit down to the dinner table and eat with them. And not once do they speak one word to you. There's no communication. Now, what kind of relationship would you say that you had between you and your parents? Would you think it's a good relationship? How many would enjoy that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because some of you young people may say, I wish my parents wouldn't talk to me. But truthfully, you may say that sometimes, but in your hearts, you wouldn't like to know that your parents never spoke another word to you anymore. That would be a very painful thing. And I'm sure it's painful to God when his children don't want to take the time to talk to him as well and to hear what he has to say. But because Daniel was willing to make that sacrifice, to pray to God three times a day, Darius makes a statement just similar to what Naaman had said. And let me read it to you. It's in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. Beginning at verse 25, it says, then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You see, because Daniel stood for God, this man had witnessed the power of God in his life, and he could make a decree and say, he is the living God, and he is steadfast forever, and his kingdom is the one which will never be destroyed. Now let me ask you, how many of us want that kind of testimony? How many of us in here tonight would like to be able for people to look at us, at the way we conduct ourselves day by day, and say, you know, I know within myself, they're living for Christ. You can see Jesus Christ in them, and I know that they're born again. I'll tell you, I don't know if any greater thing that you can have in this world than to have a testimony like that, that people know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're born again and that you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's a great testimony, because you know what? If that's the situation, when we stand before him, we don't have any worries about hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that is something that each and every one of us should desire in our hearts to hear. There's nothing greater that we can hear than to hear our Lord say, I'm pleased with what you've done for me while you was on earth. So young people, I tell you, as you face your challenges each day, and I know that you face them, believe you me, I know that you face them. I know that today in Spanish Wells is probably the most difficult time to live for God is what it's ever been. But God will reward you. I guarantee you, if you honor Him and lift yourself up to His standards, He will bless you for it, and you will have a witness that other people don't have. And you'll be able to win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, which should be our greatest desire. There should not be no desire in our hearts greater than that, than to see other people saved and brought into the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for those that we've read about that were willing to take stands in their life for you. And not ashamed, Father, and we would pray tonight that indeed you would make each and every one of us servants of thine that are not ashamed to lift up the cross and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for these young people here tonight. We thank you for their desire to be found in your house this evening, Father, and we just pray that they will continue to live lives that will be pleasing to thee. Thank you, Lord, for what we're seeing in our young men and young women. And we pray that they will continue to have a desire in their hearts to serve the Lord Jesus Christ to the best of their ability. Thank you again for everything you've given to us. And we ask now that you would part us with your blessing as we continue to give thanks in the wonderful and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I know a lot of people's away. I told Brother Gertz last Saturday night that the great exodus had begun, but it's still good to see each and every one of you out tonight, and I trust that we've been blessed by coming to the Lord's house tonight. Thank you and good night.